Well, late one night, a man is speeding down an empty road, and he's pulled over by a policeman. The policeman walks up to his car, and he asks him, "Sir, are you aware how fast you were going?" The man replies, yes, I'm very aware of how fast I was going. As a matter of fact, I'm trying to escape a robbery I was involved in." The cop looks at him and says, "A robbery? Were you the one being robbed?" The man replies, "Oh, no, I was the one who committed the robbery. I was just trying to escape." The cop says, "So you're telling me that you were speeding and you committed a robbery?" "Oh, yeah," replied the man. "I have all the loot back in the trunk." The cop steps back. He places his hand on his gun and he says, "Sir, I'm going to have to ask you to get out of the vehicle." The man steps out of the vehicle. The policeman puts him in cuffs. "Anything else I need to know?" answered the cop. "As a matter of fact, yes," said the man. "I have a loaded gun in the glove compartment." The policeman immediately calls for backup. Once backup arrives, the man is put into the back of the squad car, and his car is searched. After what seemed like 30 minutes, one of the officers walks over to the squad car where the man is being held, and the officer has a very confused look on his face. "Sir, this officer over here tells me that you had committed robbery, you had stolen loot in the trunk of your car, and you had a loaded gun in your glove compartment, but we didn't find any of those things, and there has been no report of a robbery in the area." The man replies, "Are you serious? What's he going to say next, that I was speeding?" And there you go, your joke of the week. I'd say that's how you get out a speeding ticket, but I know none of you would ever speed on the highway. If you do, I will know, because Tom Largo sees everything and he'll tell me. Amen. Love you, Tom. Well, today we're going to be finishing up our series, Press On, and I really believe that God has given me a great truth to share with you today. So if you have your Bible or Bible app, we're going to go ahead and we're going to read one short verse to get started today. We're going to read several scriptures, but we're just going to read one to get started. We're going to go to Micah chapter 7 and verse 8. Before we read this, I do want to remind you, next weekend is our annual celebration weekend. We do this in light of our annual business meetings, where we make all of the church documents available to you, anybody that comes, anybody that wants them. And we have a message. We talk about what God has done, what we're looking for in the future. So it's going to be a great weekend next weekend. I just encourage you to come out and celebrate with us next week what God has done. Okay, Micah chapter 7. And verse 8, it says, "Do not gloat over me, my enemies, for though I fall, I will rise again." I'm calling this message, "Don't Quit." Father, for the next few moments, I ask God that you would give me the mind of Christ. God, that you would anoint me, anoint these words, God, because if you don't anoint me, Lord, these words will fall flat. They will be useless, God, but if you anoint them, they have the power to change lives. And so, God, that is what I pray today, Lord. I ask it in the name and the authority of Jesus Christ. God, that you would use this message as an encouragement to those that are down, as a reminder to those that are fighting, God. And Lord, we just want to give you the thanks for it in advance. In Jesus' name, amen. If you listened when you were in school, you more than likely learned about a man named Thomas Edison. He was a famous inventor, and he has 1,093 patents currently under his name. Things like the phonograph, the motion picture camera, and his most significant invention, the light bulb. History tells us that in his attempt to finish the light bulb, he tried more than 2,000 different materials in search of a filament. More than 2,000 attempts, and they all ended in failure. His assistant is recorded as saying, "All of our work has been in vain. We have learned nothing." To which Edison replied, "We've actually come a long way, and we've learned a lot. We know that there are 2,000 elements we cannot use to make a good light bulb." When he was in school, his teacher said he was not smart enough to learn anything. He was fired from his first two jobs for being non-productive. But Edison would go on to become one of the greatest inventors of all time. The thing that set him apart from most people was his willingness to press on through letdown and disappointment. The word quit was not in his vocabulary. He was willing to go further than most people would. In one of his most famous quotes, he says this: "Many of life's failures are people who did not realize how close they were to success when they gave up. Billy Graham felt like quitting after he preached his very first sermon. Excuse me. As a matter of fact, he had 4 sermons prepared, and he was so nervous that he preached all 4 sermons in under 10 minutes. Can you imagine what the world would have missed if Billy Graham, out of frustration, would have said, "You know what? I just don't think I'm cut out for this. I quit." The actor Jim Carrey grew up in a low-income family with a father who struggled to keep jobs. They were so poor, he had to drop out of high school at the age of 15 and get a job to support the family. On his first comic stand-up, he was booed off of the stage. Later, when he auditioned for Saturday Night Live, he failed to land the part, but he would not quit. Colonel Sanders, at the age of 62, set out with his $105 Social Security check in hand to pitch his chicken recipe to restaurants. More than 1,000 restaurants told him no. For most of us, we'd be willing to quit after 10. Nobody wants my chicken. They told him he was crazy, but he would not quit. And we could go on. Stories like this, they inspire us. People that continually looked failure in the eye, but they would not quit. They inspire us because we all know how difficult that is to do. It is hard not to quit. It is hard to get back up after we've been knocked down. Quitting is easy. Anybody can quit. Anybody can throw in the towel, and most people do. Micah chapter 7 and verse 8, which we read just a moment ago. I'm going to read it again. "Do not gloat over me, my enemies, for though I fall, I will rise again." You see, in life, you are going to be knocked down by the enemy. But just because you get knocked down, it doesn't mean that it's over. Proverbs chapter 20 and verse 16, "For though the righteous fall 7 times, they rise again." You see, you might get knocked down, but all you have to do to get the victory is get back up. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13, "I can do all things through him who strengthens me." I can do all things through Christ. It doesn't say I can do some things. It says I can do all things. If you look through the Bible, you're going to read many stories of people that wanted to quit. Jeremiah wanted to quit. He wanted to leave the ministry. He actually did for a while. But the Bible tells us that the Word of God burned in his bones like a fire. And this is what he says in Jeremiah chapter 20 and verse 9. He says, "But if I say, I will never mention the Lord or speak his name, his word burns in my heart like a fire. It's like fire in my bones. I am worn out trying to hold it in. I can't do it." He said, "I don't want to preach anymore. I want to give it all up, but I can't because this word is burning in me like a fire." Abraham, the friend of God, the man that walked with God, he wanted to quit. Depression came. Recession came. He wanted to go to Egypt and scrap it all. Peter, who walked on water, wanted to quit. When Jesus was crucified, Peter was mourning at the fire. He denied the faith. He denied the Lord. He denied his church. He even cursed God. He wanted to quit. The disciples, the 12 that were chosen to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ to the world, the Bible says at Calvary, they forsook him and they fled. They wanted to quit. Noah wanted to quit. Daniel wanted to quit. Moses wanted to quit. And he did quit for a season. His story is truly remarkable. We see it in the book of Exodus. This is a very interesting one. You see, when Moses was born, God's people were currently in slavery to the Egyptians. Despite them being in slavery, the Bible says that they multiplied greatly. Because they were multiplying so quickly, this made the king of Egypt, Pharaoh, nervous. And so he issues a command that every Hebrew boy born would be killed by throwing them into the Nile River. Every girl was allowed to live. So Moses is born, and he's born with a death sentence right away. His parents, they decide to disobey the command of the king, and they hide Moses for 3 months. After they realize he's getting to the age they can no longer hide him, they took him down to the Nile River, they placed him in a waterproof basket, and then they released him down the river putting it all in God's hands. Imagine how difficult that would be to do that with your child. This little boy Moses floated down the river for a while, and he eventually is found by none other than Pharaoh's daughter. Even though she was conditioned to reject the Hebrews, the cry of Moses melts her heart, and she decides to adopt this young boy as her own son. So Moses, born a slave, he's being now raised as royalty. His name became a household name in Egypt. Many scholars believe that he was actually being trained to be the next Pharaoh of Egypt. Look at what Acts chapter 7, verse 22 says about him. It says, "And Moses was instructed in all the wisdom of the Egyptians, and he was mighty in his words and deeds." You see that? He was being trained in everything, and he was mighty in words and deeds. That's going to make a little bit more sense here in just a moment. We'll come back to that. Well, over time, Moses, growing up in the palace, he learns his true heritage. He lived in luxury while his blood relatives are struggling in slavery. Day after day, he would watch his own people be mistreated by the Egyptians. Look at Exodus chapter 2 and verse 11. It says, "One day when Moses had grown up, he went out to his people and he looked on their burdens. And he saw an Egyptian beating a Hebrew, one of his people. He looked this way and that," so he's double checking. "And seeing no one, he struck down the Egyptian and hid him in the sand." I'm going to get revenge. We've talked about that as well in this series. "When he went out the next day, behold, two Hebrews were struggling together, and he said to the one in the wrong, 'Why do you strike your companion?' He answered, 'Who made you prince and judge over us? Do you mean to kill me as you killed the Egyptian?' Then Moses was afraid and thought, 'Surely the thing that I've done is known.' When Pharaoh heard of it, he sought to kill Moses, but Moses fled from Pharaoh and stayed in the land of Midian and sat down by a well." So Moses murders an Egyptian. He tries to hide it, tries to hide the evidence. Pharaoh learns about it, sets out to kill Moses. So Moses runs for his life to the land of Midian, which is roughly 285 miles away from where he was. While in Midian, Moses ends up coming into contact with the priest of Midian, and he marries his daughter. Moses has a calling on his life from God to free God's people from the hands of the Egyptians. But when the pressure is turned up, we see him run from his calling and quit. He settles down and he becomes a shepherd tending the flocks of his father-in-law. It's now a simple, easy life. The cries of the Hebrews in Egyptian slavery, which he once cared about, have now become a distant memory to him, but not to God. 40 years go by of more slavery, and one day Moses is out tending his flock just like any other day. He comes to Mount Horeb, and as he's walking along, he notices that there's a bush on fire. Now, bushes on fire in this area actually are not that uncommon, because there are certain bushes that have been known to unexpectedly ignite with fire and burn up due to the lack of rain and extreme heat in the area. But this one was different. This one was on fire, but it was not burning up like he had watched the others do. So Moses goes over to take a closer look, and when he gets close to the bush, God begins to speak to him from inside of this bush. God tells Moses that the cry of my people have reached my ear, and I want you, Moses, to get back there and deliver them. Put yourself in Moses' shoes for a moment. Here's a man, he's born with a death sentence. It's only by miracle he's alive. He grows up as royalty. He experienced the best of the land. God placed him in a prime spot to deliver his people. Chances are he's going to be Pharaoh one day. And once he is crowned king, he can now release God's people without incident. It is easy and painless. Many people believe that this was the original plan of God to deliver the Hebrews by giving Moses the crown. But Moses quit. And because he chose to quit, God's people would spend a few more decades in slavery. Moses quit. He chose to run. He made a bad decision. He messed up his life. In his eyes, what I've done is beyond repair. So what's the use? And I've seen this same thing happen in the lives of so many people. We make mistakes, we fail, we do things that we are ashamed of. Maybe we got hooked up with the wrong crowd. Maybe we fell prey to an addiction. Maybe it was a decision that destroyed our family or our career. Maybe it was an abortion. Maybe it was an affair. The list could go on and on and on. And a common response to this failure is we do exactly what Moses did. We quit. And it's because of guilt. It's because of shame. How could God love a wretch like me? How could God ever redeem somebody that has done what I have done? How could God ever forgive somebody that has done what I have done? But here's what I found to be true. The call of God, regardless of what you've done, will always remain on your life. It will never leave you. It's what you've been created for. I believe everyone in this room, everyone watching online, we have been created by God for something specific, for something special. As a matter of fact, I believe God has given you an assignment. He has not given anyone else. That's an assignment to make a difference in our world, an assignment to move the kingdom of God forward. But maybe you're in here today and like Moses, failure has you running from the call of God. I want you to know the call of God will never leave you. It doesn't matter if you are still in the palace or if you are running from God in the desert, the call will remain the same. It will never leave because it's what He has created you for. Just like Jeremiah, I don't want to preach anymore, but I can't help it. It's like a fire burning. That's what God created him for. God comes to Moses after 40 years of hiding. Said, Moses, we're not done. My people are still suffering, so I need you to get back there and do what I've called you to do. You may have fallen down, Moses, but even if you fall seven times, I need you to get back up. It's time to get back up. And I believe God is saying that to someone in here today. You may have fallen. You may feel like you have nothing left, but I need you to get back up. I need you to rise again. I don't want you to quit. And this is tough for us to understand, because why would God ever want to use me for His kingdom after I have failed like I have? Moses wrestled with this as well. It's hard to imagine that the God of the universe would give me a second chance when I won't even give myself a second chance. I want you to see how Moses responds. He quits. God tells him to get back up. And he gives God four excuses as to why he can't get back up. And this is phenomenal because these are some of the same excuses that you and I use when we quit. And we resist getting back up. You see, we like to play the victim. We like to justify where we're at. And the way we do that is through excuses. I'm in this place because of this. And this person won't do this. And so we make these excuses as to why we need to stay on the ground. But God comes and says, even though you might fall seven times, you will rise again. Because greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. So excuse number one. I am not good enough. Exodus chapter 3, verse 10. Now go, for I'm sending you to Pharaoh. This is God speaking to Moses. You must lead my people, Israel, out of Egypt. But Moses protested to God. Who am I to appear before Pharaoh? Who am I to lead the people of Israel out of Egypt? He asked the question, who am I? You see, when Moses looks at himself in the mirror, he doesn't see a mighty man that's going to go stand before the Pharaoh and deliver the people. What he sees is a failure. He takes another man's life. He tries to cover it up. Certainly, this failure would disqualify him from God's ultimate plan. God responds by saying, Moses, I am with you. The truth is, by himself, Moses was not good enough, and neither are we. But God says, I am with you, and I will be by your side, and when I am by your side, all things are possible. It doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter where you come from. It doesn't matter what you've done. You see, I am the one that can take what looks impossible and make it possible. Have you ever felt like you're not good enough to do what God has called you to do? So did Moses. Excuse number two, I have no authority. Exodus chapter 3 and verse 13, but Moses protested, if I go to the people of Israel and I tell them, the God of your ancestors has sent me to you, they will ask me, what is his name? Then what should I tell them? You see, Moses had a good memory here. He tried to help the people years ago when he killed the Egyptian. Surely killing the Egyptian is going to work in his favor because his people will now see that he is on their side. But how did his people respond? By saying, who made you ruler over us and judge over us? They rejected him. Because of this, he now feels like he's got zero credibility with the same people God's asking him to rescue. He's saying, God, if they know who I really am, the Moses that ran, the Moses that quit, they will not believe me. I am a murderer. Not only am I a murderer, I quit on them once. I have the reputation of being a quitter when the going gets tough. And so God responds to him and says, you just tell them that I am sent you to them. Now, what does that mean? It means you tell them I am creator has sent you. I am the Alpha. I am the Omega. I am the first. I am the last. I am the beginning. I am the end. I am the God of Abraham. I am the God of Isaac. I am the God of Jacob. I am who was. I am who is. I am the one who will always be. I am Almighty God. I am who I am. With me, all things are possible. Moses, you tell them that you're coming in the authority of the great I am. You see, when we look in the mirror, many times for many of us, we see a weak, defeated person. We see a person with no authority. But when God says, go, he will not only will you have authority, but you will have his authority. Excuse number three, they will not believe me. But Moses protested again, what if they don't believe me or listen to me? What if they say the Lord never appeared to you? Then the Lord asked him, what is that in your hand? A shepherd's staff, Moses replied. This is one of my favorite excuses as all, because I think so many of us can relate to this. Throw it down on the ground, the Lord told him. So Moses threw it down the staff, and it turned into a snake. Moses jumped back. Then the Lord told him, reach out and grab its tail. So Moses reached out and grabbed it, and it turned back to a shepherd's staff in his hand. This excuse comes when we feel like we're not equipped to do the job that God is calling us to do. Moses was afraid the people wouldn't believe him. He's afraid the people aren't going to listen to him. Basically, what he was saying is, God, I feel inadequate to do the job that you've called me to do. And how does God respond to him? Moses, what's in your hand? The only thing in his hand was a staff. God said, Moses, whatever's in your hand, that's all I need. I don't need anything else. Listen to me very carefully. God has not given you the same gifts and the talents that he gave the person sitting next to you. But what we do is we compare our gifts and our talents to other people, to the giftings that he's given someone else. For instance, maybe God's called you to preach, and you see a preacher on the internet, thousands of followers, hundreds of people turning into the live cast, and you think, man, I could never preach like that. I could never lead like that. Maybe God hasn't called me to do this after all, and then you get discouraged, and you quit, because you're comparing your gift with the gift of another. Or maybe God has called you to start a ministry, but you look in the mirror and you say things, man, I'm not smart enough to pull that off. I don't have all the experience I need to pull that off, and you choose to quit. We use this as an excuse. And we say, I can't do that, God, because I don't have the gift of that person over there. And God says, I did not give you on purpose the gifts I gave them. I'm not asking you to use their gift. I'm asking you to use your gifts. All I want you to do is use what I have placed in your hand. And I have seen so many people run from the call of God because they feel like they're not equipped right. It's like to say, God, I know you put this calling on my life, but man, you made a mistake here. He didn't make a mistake. He gave you exactly what you would need to do exactly what he has created you to do. He's not asking you to walk in somebody else's gift or talent. You know how liberating this is? All he's asking us to do is to simply use what he has given us, the talents that he has given us. Excuse number four, I don't speak well. Exodus chapter 4 and verse 10, but Moses pleaded with the Lord. Just excuse after excuse after excuse why I can't do this. Oh Lord, I'm not very good with words. I never have been, and I'm not now. Even though you've spoken to me, I get tongue-tied and my words get tangled. Then the Lord asked Moses, who makes a person's mouth? Who decides whether people speak or do not speak, hear or do not hear, see or do not see? Is it not I, the Lord? Now go, I will be with you as you speak, and I will instruct you what to say. Now this excuse is interesting to me because remember what we read in Acts chapter 7 and verse 22 that I said we're going to come back to? Let's look at that again. It says, and Moses was instructed in all the wisdom of the Egyptians, and he was mighty in his words and his deeds. Moses was a man that was mighty in his words and his deeds. But here he is, I don't speak well. I can't do it. Again, Moses doesn't see himself the same way that God sees him. It's basically saying, God, I'm not smart enough. God responds, Moses, who made your mouth? All excuses. Here's the truth. It's easy to make excuses. There's 1,000 different excuses that we can use to justify why we need to quit. And God comes back with the same response. God, I got to quit because of this. I don't have this. I can't do this. I can't do this. And God comes to us and he looks at us and he says, for though the righteous may fall 7 times, they rise again. Now, after all that, look at what happens. Exodus chapter 4 and verse 13. Truly sad. But Moses again pleaded, Lord, please send someone else. Then the Lord became angry with Moses. After all that, Lord, I don't want to do it. Send someone else. All right, he said, what about your brother Aaron the Levite? I know he speaks well, and look, he's on his way to meet you. He'll be delighted to see you. Talk to him. Put the words in his mouth. I'll be with both of you as you speak, and I'll instruct you both in what to do. Aaron will be your spokesperson to the people. He will be your mouthpiece. You will stand in the place of God for him, telling him what to say. And take your shepherd's staff with you and use it to perform the miraculous signs I have shown you. After all the assurance from God, Moses runs out of excuses. He doesn't feel like he's capable to do the difficult job that God has called him to do. And so he finally says, God, just send someone else. God says, okay. And look at what he does. He removes some of the anointing that's on Moses. And he places it on his brother Aaron. And over the years, I have heard the heartbreak from so many people that have told God no. They told God, send someone else. And so he did. I've talked to several pastors that have told me of God calling them to a certain city with a vision that he gave them to change and transform that city for the glory of God. But instead of obeying the call, they ran from the call. For some of them, they ran because they had this fear of failure. For some of them, they looked at it and the hill was too steep to climb. For some, the price they had to pay personally was too high. What God was asking them to give up, they weren't willing to give up. And so they were not willing to make the sacrifice that it would take. And they're all excuses of why I cannot follow the call of God. They told God no. And today they sit with deep regret because now there's someone else in that city that's doing the very work that God laid on their heart to do. They're watching the vision that God had given them be accomplished through someone else. You see, God is serious about his work. The human soul is the only thing that we can take with us when we leave this earth. We can't take anything else. Reaching people with the gospel of Jesus Christ is the main thing. Above all else, it is the main thing. And if we run from the call too long, he's going to take the anointing that he's placed upon you and he will give it to someone else.
but the call will never leave. It will always burn within us because that's what we have been created for. We will never be satisfied until we answer the call. For though the righteous fall seven times, they rise again. Now, here's what I've learned about wanting to quit. Look again, we're going to circle back and look at what the prophet Micah said when we started this message. Do not gloat over me, my enemies, for though I fall, I will rise again. Now, I want you to listen to me very carefully. Getting ready to wrap this up. And if you remember nothing else of what I've said today, I need you to remember this. When you are under the greatest pressure to quit, when you are at a point where you just don't know how much more you can take, and I believe some of you in here today are there right now. Listen to me. You need to understand something very important before you throw in the towel. When you get to that point, this is what I've known to be true in my own life. When you get to that point where I just don't have much left to keep going, it is because your enemy, remember Micah talks about the enemy, Satan has just fired his best shot at you. And if you can hold on through it, he doesn't have anything left to throw at you. And you will win. Because greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. If you are under pressure to give up today, that's a good indication that Satan has just fired everything he's got at you. He doesn't have any ammo left in the gun at the moment. Now, will he reload and fire again? Yes. But in this moment right here, he's out. He threw everything he had at you trying to get you to quit. And I want you to hold on because you're almost there. Your breakthrough is on the horizon. Don't quit now. Don't give up. For though the righteous fall seven times, they will rise again. Don't quit. Hang on, and you will win the battle. Maybe you're in here today and you've already told God no. Maybe like Moses, you've already quit. I want you to know it's not too late because we serve the God of second chances. And I believe that God is using this message today as we close out this Press On series as a wake-up call. You see, God did a great work through Moses. God used a man of failure to rescue a nation. And he says no at first, but he finally answers the call. You might feel like you're on the ground right now, beaten and weak. You may feel like you've been knocked down, but I want to encourage you today to rise again. Do not quit. Can I have you bow your heads and close your eyes? Father, we just want to thank you today for your word. God, I believe that there are people in this room right now, there's people watching online that want to quit. They just feel like they don't have anything left. But God, I just ask God that you would help them to see today, Lord, this truth that though the righteous fall seven times, we will rise again. And when we fall, we will rise again if we don't quit. So I believe that your word to some people in here today, God, is just you need to hold on. Hold on. God, we thank you today. And I pray for those, God, that are wanting to quit, that you would encourage them, that you would strengthen them. I pray for those, God, that have already run, they've already quit. God, that you would renew that passion within them today. Let them know that even though they might have quit like Moses, God, they can still be redeemed because you are the God of second chances. So, God, I thank you for that in the name of Jesus. I want you to keep your head bowed and your eyes closed.